Colossians chapter 4, verses 7 to 18, and can be found in the Pew Bibles on page 1184. Final greetings. Tychicus will tell you all the news about me. He is a dear brother, a faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord. I am sending him to you for the express purpose that you may know about our circumstances and that he may encourage your hearts. He is coming with Onesimus, our faithful and dear brother, who is one of you. They will tell you everything that is happening here. My fellow prisoner, Aristarchus, sends you his greetings, as does Mark, the cousin of Barnabas. You have received instructions about him. If he comes to you, welcome him. Jesus, who is called Justus, also sends greetings. These are the only Jews amongst my co-workers for the kingdom of God, and they have proved a comfort to me. Epaphras, who is one of you and a servant of Jesus Christ, sends greetings. He is always wrestling in prayer for you, that you may stand firm in all the will of God, mature and fully assured. I vouch for him that he is working hard for you and for those at Laodicea and Hierapolis. Our dear friend Luke, the doctor, and Demas send greetings. Give my greetings to the brothers and sisters of Laodicea and at Nympha and the church in her house. After this letter has been read to you, see that it is also read in the house of the Laodiceans, and that you in turn read the letter from Laodicea. Tell Archippus, see to it that you complete the ministry you received in the Lord. I, Paul, write this greeting in my own hand. Remember my chains. Grace be with you. This is the word of the Lord.
There's a song by the Beatles from their 1967 album, Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Heart Club Band, that subsequently became a hit single by Joe Cocker in 1968. And that makes me feel very old because I remember it climbing the charts at the time. But it runs something like, I get by with a little help from my friends. I get high with a little help from my friends. Gonna try with a little help from my friends. And whatever the motivation behind those words, it's probably true that the value of friendship can't be underestimated, can it? Whether we're young or old, we all want our friends to talk to, whether it's at home, on the phone, or in the playground. And I'm sure we can make semi-witty comments about friendship too, along the lines of a few I've heard. Nothing is better than a friend unless it's a friend that's got chocolate. And I don't want to offend anyone here with this one, but one sure way to lose another woman's friendship is to try and improve her flower arrangements. And as your best friend, I'll always pick you up when I've finished laughing. And what has all that got to do, you might say, with this morning's theme of Christ and the wider church? Well, we'll hopefully see in just a minute, but just to set the scene. This is the last in our sermon series in Paul's letter to the Colossians. And he's been trying to help a church that's been influenced or being influenced by false teachers. He's described the standards which God expects of his people. He's looked at the relationship which God's people find themselves in and how they should share their faith with others. And although Paul always ends his letters with grace, only his letter to the Romans compares with the sort of last few verses of this letter, the depth it goes into. And his intention was to strengthen the links with the Colossian Christians and with the churches in the neighbourhood. And three words came to my mind as I reread and reread this passage. Friendship, fellowship, and faithfulness. All of which Jesus demonstrated throughout his life and his ministry, his teaching and his death. And without which there wouldn't be a wider church. Friendship, fellowship, and faithfulness. Let's look briefly at these three, which you can't really separate. Friendship. And I suspect, if we're honest, we often skip over those verses in the Bible where there are a list of names. Well, we're not going to do that today with Paul's list, because they're a list of his friends. And why? Because they show the diversity of his friends, the different roles they play, and the way that Paul just speaks of them with such affection. So who were those friends that helped Paul through their service? Tychicus, verses 7 to 8. He was Paul's postman. He was his trusted right-hand man who carried his letters to the people and would have been the bearer of personal information. And you really trust those people because the letters, he probably said more than was in the letters. Onesimus, who was once a runaway slave, whom Paul led to Christ, and is now described as a faithful and dear brother. Epaphras, he might have been the founder of the church at Colossae, but now he was clearly very much a prayer warrior. And we all need those, don't we? People that can pray for us when we can't always pray for ourselves. Nympha, some translations have this person as a female, some as a male. But whatever, whoever it was serving God by opening their house as a meeting place for God's people. And surely every Christian home should be a church of God. And all this points to our second F, fellowship. All these friends and the others we mentioned too were serving alongside Paul, even if it meant they were endangering their own lives. Groucho Marx is reported as saying, "When you're in jail, a good friend will be trying to bail you out. A best friend will be in the cell next to you saying, 'Damn it, that was fun.'" And we know, don't we, more seriously, that Christ hung on the cross between two criminals and said, "Today you will be with me in paradise." And friends who help with their presence by simply being near. Sometimes all that's needed is a listening ear or just a quiet presence by a hospital bed. No need to say anything. So what about Paul's friends? Aristarchus, we only get glimpses of him in Scripture, but he seems to have been a good chap to have around when the going got tough. Not a fair-weather friend. He was with Paul in prison. He was with Paul when Paul was shipwrecked and in the riots at Ephesus. We know who our friends are, don't we, when we're there when we need them, when it's tough for all of us. Mark wasn't quite the same. He'd fallen out with Paul at some point, but was now apparently a valuable asset to him. And Paul very thoughtfully didn't want the past history of Mark, which people probably knew about, to influence their current attitude to him. We know very little about Justus, but he represents those friends who may not be well known, but God knows what service they are offering. Luke used his many talents working for God and was a great comfort to Paul and a help to him. However, sadly, as we know from experience, there are those who appear to be good friends, and then when it all goes wrong, well, they're not quite there. And the one he mentions, Damas, is a reminder of that. He turned his back on Paul and God's work because he loved the world too much. And fellowship can't be maintained, can it, without making connections. We all know the importance of good communication. And in this passage, greetings are going in both directions, from and to, and they're a predominant feature of that text. And without news of one another, relationships can't flourish. Those good communications are essential. Paul's letters, even if addressed to a particular congregation, would have been passed around. There are interesting discussions in the commentary about what that letter to Laodicea actually was. The churches, whilst being individual congregations and separate communities, would have valued fellowship with one another. And underlying all that must have been our third F, faithfulness. All these friends helped through their faithfulness, and without them and folk like them, the message of the risen Lord wouldn't have spread as it did. There would have been no wider church. It's sometimes hard to be faithful. Maybe that's why Paul is saying to Archippus, stand firm and to complete the work he's been given in the Lord. As we were thinking last week in our passage, we shouldn't be praying for ourselves or others that God will take away the task, but that he will give us the strength to complete it. So often I think we ask that we don't want to do something rather than, please God, give us the strength and the knowledge to do it. Paul was faithful to God. All he wanted to do was to have the opportunity to continue to talk the talk and walk the walk. He was also faithful to his fellow workers and showed genuine appreciation of all that they had done and were doing. So before some concluding words, and thank you to the children that have been very patient so far, I thought you might just appreciate a short musical animation about Paul, which gives a good message, I think. So thank you, Mark.
Then I am truly strong.
Grace be with you. Echo those which he opened his letter with, where he said, grace and peace to you from God our Father. So friendship, fellowship, and faithfulness. Surely three foundations of the Christian life. And hopefully a helpful way to conclude and remember our look at this letter to Colossians. A letter which explains the gospel and the implications for Christian life. So let's pause briefly to reflect now, and why not let ourselves be uplifted by Paul's exhortation in chapter 1 of this letter. Continue in your faith, established and firm, not moved from the hope held out in the gospel. So let's remember this week friendship, fellowship, and faithfulness. A moment's quiet before I pray. Heavenly Father, help us to value the friendship and fellowship which being members of your family here and as part of the wider church gives us. May the love which you so graciously give us flow out from us to others, that they too may come to know you and share in your grace. This we ask in the precious name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Saviour. Amen. So we're going to sing and pray.